Let's open to Proverbs chapter 15, and we're going to start at verse number 3 in a moment. We're working our way through the various Proverbs of King Solomon. He wrote these things down for adolescents, but they are good for anyone that needs to learn how to react to life events in a godly fashion. They're intended to be memorized, and so I encourage you to have some way of jotting down a reference if you hear something that you think would benefit you or somebody you know. Proverbs 15:3. The eyes of he who is are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. So God is all-seeing, all-knowing, and he is keeping track of both the righteous and the unrighteous. And the point is, you need to be one of the righteous because of that. Verse 4, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. So the tongue can either be used to bring healing or disaster. And righteous people should want their tongues, their words, to bring life, the life of God. So be careful with your tongues. Verse 5, a fool despises his father's instruction, but whoever heeds reproof is prudent. Now, fools in the wisdom literature, that's not anything about their intellect. It's about their moral standing. Foolish people don't believe in God's moral code or moral standard. And so that's why foolish sons and daughters blow off the moral instruction of mom and dad. While good sons and daughters, righteous sons and daughters, they listen to the instructions and even the reproofs because they want to learn and get better at living for God. Verse number 6, in the house of the righteous there is much treasure, but trouble befalls the income of the wicked. Now, Solomon is writing during the early part of his reign, when the kingdom is living, for the most part, according to God's standards, and because of that, they are under the blessing of God, and the finances of pretty much everyone in Israel is overflowing with blessing. It's the wicked ones that get in trouble and lose all those good things. And so he's putting forth here that rule of thumb based on the time period he's living in. Now, there's an ultimate application to this, though, and that is we're all storing up treasure in heaven by what we say and do here, whereas the wicked are just reserving judgment for themselves, and that's not good. They need to repent. Verse number 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. So righteous people try to pass the righteous wisdom of God along. But foolish people, they make bad choices. And those bad choices impact on other people and start a nasty chain of events. So choose wisely. Verse 8, the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to he who is, but the prayer of the upright is acceptable to him. This is the idea of behavior in worship only finds validation in the heart of the worshiper. So if an unrighteous person gives a big donation or a grand gesture to a church or to the work of the Lord, that's sickening to God. What really needs to be given is the heart, a sincere, repentant heart. That's what God really wants. Verse number 9, The way of the wicked is an abomination to he who is, but he loves him who pursues righteousness. So God's looking for those that are looking for him. The lifestyle, the life pursuits of wicked people make God sick, according to this proverb. But he loves seeing people who are on the path of righteousness. Verse 10, there is severe discipline for him who forsakes the way. Whoever hates reproof will die. So doing sinful things will often bring God's judgment with an intention of seeing a change of behavior. But if that judgment, if that corrective behavior is rejected, then the ultimate outcome is going to be death. Might be physical death, but it most certainly will be spiritual death, separation from God in the second death, which is hell. Verse 11, Sheol and Abaddon lie open before he who is, how much more the hearts of the children of man. Now, Sheol is the generic Hebrew word for the place of the dead, the spirits previous to the death of Jesus Christ all went to a waiting place, righteous and unrighteous. After Jesus resurrected from the dead, the righteous dead went into the presence of the Father because he had paid the penalty for sin. But back at this time, Sheol had a division called Abaddon, where the unrighteous people were kept. And so both Sheol generically and specifically the place of the unrighteous dead were completely known to God. He knew everyone down in there. Well, in the same way, he knows the hearts of every living person. They're not hidden from him. The word for Sheol has the idea of the hidden place. So God knows everything. He's omniscient, if you want to use the technical Latin phraseology. Verse number 12. A scoffer does not like to be reproved. He will not go to the wise. So scoffers are those who make fun and mockery of right things. And they don't like to be corrected. So why in the world would they go and ask someone to check them? Just not going to happen. The proverb intended to say, don't be that way. Good people are open to being corrected for bad procedures. Verse 13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart, the spirit is crushed. And I think this is a ongoing thing. People who are happy, they just exude happiness. But people who are just sad and having a tough time, and it just keeps getting worse, it will crush them over a period of time. And I think part of the motivation of this proverb is to help people get out of that. If you see people that are being crushed by circumstances, step in and do what you can to help ease the sorrow of their heart. Verse 14, the heart of him who has understanding seeks knowledge, but the mouths of fools feed on folly. So people who are wise tend to want more wisdom, while people who are foolish seem to crave even more of that foolishness. And we've got to break that latter cycle and get people involved in the more godly cycle of seeking wisdom. Verse 15, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Kind of an observation that bad things very often happen to bad people. And good things very often happen to good people. And we really want to see people being good and enjoying life. I mean, that should be our goal for everyone, shouldn't it? Verse 16, better is a little with the fear of he who is than great treasure and trouble with it. You know, if you only got a little bread every day, but you had a good relationship with God and with God's people, then you're doing well. Because to be very rich and have all these great big sumptuous feasts, but your life is a moral mess because you don't have a relationship with God and his people, that life is unbearable, even though it might be filled with food. Verse number 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a fattened ox and hatred with it. So we'd kind of say something like, it's better to have a little plain salad with someone that you love than to have a great big steak dinner with somebody you don't get along with. Because companionship is very important. Verse 18. A hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. I mentioned yesterday that James, the half-brother of Jesus, wrote in his little letter that everyone should be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Well, I think James must have been reading from the book of Proverbs a lot, because that's the advice we're seeing right here. Keep control of your temper, because troublemaking is always a bad idea. It's something that bad people do, and we don't want to be bad people. Verse 19, the way of a sluggard is like a hedge of thorns, but the path of the upright is a level highway. So sluggard, that's a old word for being lazy. And there's quite a few proverbs in here about laziness and how it needs to be avoided. So being lazy is like trying to walk down a road that's covered in thorns, great big, maybe multiflora rose thorns. It is just not a nice road to hoe. But righteous people, hardworking people, they're going to find their life a little bit smoother. It's more like a nice, clear highway to go down. Verse 20, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. Now, this is one of those gender-specific passages that I say, you know, you can probably flip the gender on this when you're talking as a mom to your daughters. The idea is that kids that are being smart in God's way of looking at things make their parents happy. And those that blow off God's teaching by mom and dad makes both parents unhappy. Now, usually one parent is like saying, you need to make me proud and don't make your mom upset. Don't make your dad upset. Because that's just the way parents are, is they want to bring both mom and dad in on it. All right, verse 21. Folly is a joy to him who lacks sense, but a man of understanding walks straight ahead. So for some reason, foolish people think what they're doing is a good idea, when it clearly isn't. But wise people understand they need to move straight ahead with God's plan, because that's the best choice of all. Verse 22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. We've seen that at least once before, that there is wisdom in seeking out advice from more than one person. we need a broad range of experience to kind of speak to us when we're needing to make some choices and decisions as to how to proceed. And so that's the advice, the counsel that Solomon is giving to his readers. Verse 23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Now that's from the counselor's perspective. It's always a good thing when you give somebody a piece of advice, they follow it and great things happen. It just makes your day as well as the day of the person that followed the advice and was rewarded for it. Verse 24, the path of life leads upward for the prudent, that he may turn away from Sheol beneath. So Sheol being the place of the dead, the unseen world, both righteous and unrighteous. This is a proverb kind of speaking to the idea that if you do the right stuff, you'll live longer. And it's true. I mean, if you follow proper procedure, more often than not, you will act in a safe, healthful manner. And that tends to lead to a longer life. Verse 25. He who is tears down the house of the proud, but maintains the widow's boundaries. So God deals out justice in this world sometimes. And so sometimes people who are so full of themselves and they're harming other people, God takes them out. Whereas he is trying to look out for those that are the disenfranchised or those that can't necessarily take care of themselves. A widow is the one that appears in this context because a widow was often incapable of taking care of finances and family because the husband was now gone. And so it was very difficult for a woman in this culture in particular to step into both of those roles there, the breadwinner and the childcare provider. Verse number 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to he who is, but gracious words are pure. We've seen several like this, that things that make God sick. So wicked thought patterns, not a good idea. But graciousness of the righteous people, gracious speaking, that makes God happy. Verse 27, whoever is greedy for unjust gain troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. So wanting a quick get-rich-quick scheme is going to it's going to probably bring trouble into your life. The idea of taking bribes, never a good choice. So those that avoided taking bribes, they would live longer. Often the bribes were offered to get somebody to do something wrong. And so doing something wrong brings judgment. And it won't matter how much money you got for it if you come under the judgment of God. Verse 28, the heart of the righteous ponders how to answer, but the mouth of the wicked pours out evil things. Thoughtfulness in speech is very much upheld in the book of Proverbs. So we've got to be cautious not to do that quick, knee-jerk sort of reaction and say something immediately. Take a little time, think through it, think through the situation, think through the ramifications, think through what would Jesus do, what does the scripture expect me to do in this circumstance? Because that thoughtful pause before taking action is just simply a good idea. Verse 29, the wicked is far from the, he who is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. So God has a relationship with righteous people, and so righteous people pray to him, and God considers those prayers as somebody that's connected to him. But wicked people don't have that relationship. And so Solomon is portraying here that God is under no moral obligation to respond to the prayers of the wicked or to look out for them. I mean, he does very often still care for them, but he's under no obligation relationship-wise. So that is a proverb that kind of encourages get into a relationship with God. Verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and good news refreshes the bones. Things we hear, things that are told to us have an impact upon our emotional structure, and that has an impact upon the body. So when we see or hear good things, it makes us happy. And the proverb here kind of hints at the idea that that's what we should want, is good things to be said, not just to us, but to other people. Verse 31, the ear that listens to life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. So listening to advice from God's word is always a good choice. Verse 32, whoever ignores instruction despises himself, but he who listens to reproof gains intelligence. All of us should want to improve, which means we've got to be open to constructive criticism, specifically criticism from God's word, because when we listen to that constructive criticism and make the indicated changes, we will benefit from it. And that's what we should want. Verse 33, the fear of he who is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. So we want to have a relationship with God. We should respect God. And that starts this chain of events that will bring honor. Humility is the way that we allow God to lead us. Think about what Peter wrote, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he might lift you up at the proper time. I think Peter was definitely a reader of the wisdom literature. Chapter 16, the plans of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from he who is. So all of us have thoughts in our minds about what we think we ought to do, but it's going to be God's word that needs to come forward in that. It should be in our hearts from reading his word, and that's what should come out of our mouths. This is what we're going to do, or this is what you need to do. I think there's a aspect of advice here in this verse, that when somebody asks us, what should I do? The answer should come from God's word, not just from our heart. Verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but he who is weighs the spirit. So everyone kind of acts on their own, based on their own mindsets, and very often they think it's a good idea. But it's really God that calls the shots as to whether or not stuff is good or bad. Which brings us to verse 3. Commit your work to he who is, and your plans will be established. So do things God's way so that God can bless the things you do. Verse 4. He who is has made everything for its purpose, even the wicked for the day of trouble. So everything's impacted by God. And so even judgment that he is going to carry out is going to have a useful purpose for those that will see that judgment happen. And then I think we'll probably finish up with verse 5 today. Everyone who is arrogant in heart is an abomination or makes sick. Everyone is an abomination to he who is. Be assured he will not go unpunished. So being full of yourself, bad choice. It will bring the judgment of God if you do not repent. Have a great weekend. See you on Monday, Lord willing.